The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 13th day of December, 2011. Today is Fed Day. Let's have a look at the numbers. The Dow is up 69 points. S&P is up 6. Comp is up 5. The Euro is at an 11-month low. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
How are you today?
So far, so good.
Seems like just moments ago we were chatting with one another. Oh, it was.
It was. It was just moments ago. And it was good. We ended the morning well. Well, it was a little bit of a struggle to get a fill, but we ended well.
We did. We did have a good morning, and I think on the blog last night I made some comment about get 'em. It's Fed day, so get 'em early or stay on the porch. So I guess we can stay on the porch for the rest of the day.
That sounds enticing. It's about 30 degrees here, but except for the weather part, I would say I'm happy to stay on the porch.
Yeah, but you probably have a mud porch, don't you?
No.
Come on. No. What do they call that, a mud room?
No.
No, you don't have a mud room?
A mud room. I do have a mud room.
Oh, okay, I see.
I do have a mud room, but I have...
Just
you need a Four
bouncy
Seasons
house.
Porch. But I think you mean a Four Season porch, and not in that regard, I don't have one of those. I have a porch in the front and a porch in the back. But the one in the front is covered, the one in the back is not. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
this move on the euro this morning, we dropped. This was off Sunday night, but here's this morning. This is an hourly candle, guys. We sliced through that 131.90, and we dropped 100 pips in an hour. Is that correct? That is correct.
Yeah.
More than 100 pips.
I think it was even less than an hour. Yeah, it was a pretty incredible move.
Now, I see a hand up in
the... I was a little upset to have missed it by a tick, or at least a chunk of it.
I see a hand up in the audience. If you have a question, just type it into the box. Okay, so let's get this recap underway. Not a lot else to comment on, I don't believe, other than... You know, here's a look at the hourly chart. Oh, yeah, I was going to point out this one thing, because I haven't pointed it out in a while. And so, because I know a lot of people will go, oh, wow,
okay.
Well, that's so awesome. I'll go back to December 5th. On December 5th, the CFMA1, which is the cornerstone of the CFRN indicator set, right here on the Sunday night Globex Open, it turned blue. Blue is bullish, red is bearish. From the point that it turned blue at 46, prices ultimately went to 59. Okay? And I started this yesterday and I didn't complete it. Then over here, the MA1 turned red, and prices, when it turned red, price was down around 50 and ultimately dropped down to 40, roughly. So about 10 points. And then the MA1 turned blue. And, you know, by the time it turned blue, fairly, price was up at 46. Price ultimately ran to 59. That's about 13 points. Okay. Oop. And then right here, the CFMA1 turned red. And price went nowhere. Here, it turned blue, price was at 54, and it ultimately ran to 61. So that's about 7 points. Then over here, the MA1 turned red, and we'll go down here to measure price, 54, and price ultimately went down to about 38. And then over here, MA1 turned blue. And if we measure it from way up here, to be completely fair, price kind of went nowhere, right? Okay. Over here, the MA1 turns red. Price is, in all fairness, we'll call it, you know, 1256 down here. Price ultimately went to 1224. And then this is where I started marking it yesterday. The MA1 turned blue. And in all fairness, we'll say price was at 1230. It ran up to 1254. Over here, the MA1 turned red. And in all fairness, we'll go way down here and say price was at 51. And it dropped to 21. That's a 30-point move. And then that brings us current to today, where the MA1 was blue, and in all fairness, we'll go way up here to measure it at 31, and price ran up to 43. Now everybody goes, hey, wait a minute. You can't just do that. You can't just trade that. Well, I'm not going to tell you what you can or can't do. All I can show you is what historically happened and has been happening ever since we began the CFRN partnership program. That indicator, as you've heard me say many times, is the backbone, the cornerstone of the CFRN indicator set. That's an hourly chart. Is it always that definable? Depends upon the swings in the market. But if you're on the free trial, you've got the indicators, go take a look. See how reliable, how dependable, how accurate it is. Will there be times that you'll have a significant drawdown? Yes. Are there times that price won't make a move? You saw it happen right there two times. Is just one of those moves enough to make your entire week? It is. So if that is true and that is so simple, then why all the other stuff? Well, if you've been trading for any length of time, you know why. Okay? If you haven't been trading for a while, you're just getting started, or you've been trading for a while and you've been getting a little bit beat up, we invite you to come and hang out with us for a full week. That's one full week, 5 days, no credit card required. We'll provide you with a platform, charts, simulator, indicators, training. Did I say data? Data for every futures market.
What, data? Okay.
Training. And companionship and camaraderie for 5 full days. If you don't become a partner, that's fine. But if A, you're getting started, or B, your results aren't where you want them to be, I can only say that it's well worth your while to come get 5 days of free exposure to what we do. Now, at the end of 5 days, nobody's going to come knock on your door and try to hard sell you into anything. If you want to become a partner, we welcome you with open arms. If you decide, hey, you guys are pretty cool, but it's not for me, we'll be friends forever. So, no obligation, no hard feelings, no credit card required. You just hit the button, you become a partner, you become a free trial member, you get an email, it gives you a link, you can download the platform, the indicators, get the data flowing on your own computer, and then come into the live trading room 2 hours a day for a full 5 days and watch us discuss and trade the markets live in real time with real money. Okay, that's what we do. And it's not one of those trading rooms where we tell you what we did after we did it, or we say, you know, it might be a good idea to try to get long here, and then if it doesn't work out, we say, boy, we're glad we didn't get long there. Okay, there's plenty of that out there, and you've all experienced it if you've been in the world of trading for any length of time. We call our trades to the tick. Right, wrong, good, bad, ugly. We tell you exactly to the tick where we'll get in if we get filled, and to the tick exactly where we'll get out if we get filled. And if we don't get filled, you'll see it because the chart's right up on your screen. Dom's right up on the screen. Keep both hands on the table. There's just no shenanigans. Every day I'm getting emails and phone calls about somebody somewhere and their shenanigans. Well, you know what? We answer to a higher authority. We, if nothing else, we may not be the best traders on the planet, but we're by far the most transparent. Because we got nothing to hide. So we just show you what we got. Because there's no sense in you becoming a partner if you're going to be a grumpy partner or an unhappy partner. We want you to know what you're getting into before you get into it. So that's all I got to say about that.
All right.
I'll let you do the recap, and I'll go get myself another cup of this very fine Dunkin' Donuts coffee brought to me by my good friend, Larry. Thanks, Larry. Merry Christmas, brother.
All right. And I will just grab the charts from you and start the recording here in just a moment and go over the morning trading session.
That Bert Schlichter, he's a handsome man. Good God.
Good God, he is handsome. God willing, his son will be just as handsome.
Amen. Me and David pale in comparison. Bert, I hope you're there.
And I didn't want to disgrace the website with a picture of myself.
I got a really cool shot of you on the trial page.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right. I'll have to take a look at that.
Snagged it right out of Mad Men.
Nice.
Which is a great show, nice. By the way.
All right. You guys should see big pink screens here.
It's more of like a chartreuse. Okay.
There we go. All right. This one. Come on, baby. Bertha is what Alan was calling it. All right. Well, at some point, this will come in.
I see your charts.
Anyway, I'm going to start the recording in just a minute here, so you can go get your coffee. All right.
It's just down the hall, so I won't be long.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, December 13th, 2011. I'm going to go over the trades and the results from the live trading room this morning. Let's just start off with the results first, okay? I took one live trade this morning that got filled. It was good for 2 points, 24 ticks, 3 contracts. At the same time, Dwayne took a trade. He actually took both trades. I only took one of the trades, but he took both trades. It was a YM trade that set up at the same time that Dwayne took 16 points on. You can see right over here, this is his Dom right here that I'm giving you a screenshot of from this morning. Dwayne took 16 points on that live in the trading room this morning, and I took 24 ticks or 2 points over here with 3 contracts on the ES. All right. Now, that said, let's just scroll back to where the trades were, and we'll go over. I'm trying to scroll back here. But that was the one trade that I took, but let's just go back a little farther so we can just go through the whole morning. Okay. It is a recap of the morning, not just the trades. Okay, so here we are at the open. The market opened up, and we were looking for a pullback here to the BBC. You see we had a fresh bubble. A bubble is when these red lines get outside the black lines. We are above the BBC. We put in a higher swing. We're looking for a pullback right here until we got this space. Once we got this space in here, then we had to take the order off until we got a higher swing. Once we got a higher swing, right here, a higher pivot, we put the order back on because we had not yet touched the BBC, so that bubble was still good down there. We had not yet touched the BBC, so we put the order back on, and once it got up here, we ended up taking it off because we didn't want to trade into the weekly trading zone. Right here, we could have entered it, and it would have given us the two full points by one tick. It would have given 2 full points, but we didn't because in my plan, it says do not trade into weekly trading zones, so I did not. The market moved around a little bit right here at the zone, but it never really penetrated the zone. And then it started to move off the zone. And when it started, it really moved. We were chasing this thing. Well, I don't want to use the word chasing. Chasing is the wrong word. We were following the BBC with our entry all the way down, waiting for a pullback, waiting. And it seemed like it took forever for that thing to pull back. Finally, it did pull back right over here after a 10-point move down. It pulled back, and it gave us our entry right here. And it didn't give us too much heat. I think we were down 2 or 3 ticks at one point. We had 2 points risk on it. We were looking for a 2-point profit target. We got our 2 points profit right here. That is what you see here on the Dom. And I'll show you the YM trade. At the same time, on all three time frames on the ES that we look at, the 2100 tick, the 10,000 contract, we were hitting the BBC on all time frames. So all time frames were looking like it was a good spot to short. Okay. And that was pretty much it. That was 10:52 to 11 o'clock. And after 11 o'clock, right down here, it bottomed out. We had a little space right in here that prevented us from going short on this pullback right here. And it's good because it would have stumped us out had we done it. It was not a setup. So right here, there was a George setup here. It was borderline George and regular CFRN setup. Would have been here at 35, we'll say. Looking for it to get up to 37. So there it was, 2 points right there. That was another setup right there that happened during the break. All right, so there was 2 points that we took, 2 points that happened during the break. That was it, but we're only taking credit for the one that we took here, these 2 points, okay? Let's see, I want to show you where it happened at the same time here. Let me scroll back over here a little bit. on the dome. Now you see right here, it was 10:55, and right here, it was 10:56, 10:55, 10:56. This is a 10,000 contract. This was the first pullback after a bearish cross. I won't scroll back to it, but I'll just show it to you over here. A bearish cross is when the MA1 crosses over the BBC. So we had that happen here. It crossed down, okay, under the BBC. And the first pullback was right here. And if we look at the 2100, I will show you that same spot right there. All three time frames, all pretty much in the same spot. We're given a short indication. So we took that short, and we got 2 points out of it. Pretty easy 2 points, I might add. Now, at the same time, we were going over in the room. As this was setting up here, or as it was pulling back here, we had said, now, where would you put in a sell stop? And a bunch of the guys put in their areas that they would have put in a sell stop. And they were all pretty much right. You know, there were three different areas in here where we would have put in a sell stop. But at the time, I was saying, okay, well, that's all good. And you're all correct, and you're all in your own spots. You know, one spot would have been up here, a sell stop down below here. Another would have been a sell stop down below here. And another would have been a sell stop down below here. After that, when it started to pull back up, I said, well, now where would you put a sell stop? And I just drew this line in at 1233 right here as it was pulling back up. I said, I would put a sell stop in here. If it gets down there, it'll probably drop another couple of points. We had taken the trade over here and gotten out of the trade over here, so we had already gotten our couple of points. Our goal for the day was the 2 points, but it did drop through that level at 1233, so we would have entered short here at 1233, and it did drop two more points. Just want to point that out for anyone that missed the live trading room this morning. We went over a little bit of that this morning. And I think I might have even recorded that this morning. Then we had a bullish cross here, and this is the first pullback, but we're not going to go long right into the resistance dots right here. Okay, that's another thing in my trading plan. And the cycle's not terribly in favor of a long trade here. It's looking like it's going to roll over. All right, that was it for the ES. Now let me jump over here to the YM. Okay, at the same time that we took those trades on the ES, there was this pullback right here on the YM. So we were at the BBC on all the time frames on both of these markets. Okay. Dwayne took this trade here. That was the screenshot that I had showed you right here. This is Dwayne's dom, if it pops up here. He took 16 ticks out of it. Anyway, it was there at the beginning of the recap. But we had the bearish cross. This was the first pullback to the BBC after the bearish cross. Dwayne took it and got 16 ticks out of it. It obviously went about 50 ticks, but he got 16 out of it. Since then, it had a bullish cross here, and this was the first pullback. Now, I would not have gone long into the weekly trading zone. I wouldn't have even done this one into the weekly trading zone. There's one trade setup that's happening right now where we have this bullish divergence, but you would have to see a close up of the MA1 within 7 ticks of the MA1, probably within 5 ticks of the MA1, the closed. I would think of going long at that point, but right now I'm not really considering it. Now there was one other thing that we did, that we almost did, and I'll point it out in the live trading room this morning. I'll show you a trade we missed. Okay, this is the 6E. All right, for those of you who like to trade the 6E, now I was, when the market was developing here, price was over here, and I was trying to say where I thought we would start to see divergence. So I drew these arrows out ahead when there were no lines there. I said, I think we're probably going to start to see divergence once it gets here, and price may pull back to the BBC here, and that would be where you just start to look for the short. Well, the divergence started there, but price didn't pull back till over here. Now the deal is, when you get divergence, you start to get divergence anyway. The first pullback to the BBC, as long as the BBC is on the proper side of the elbow, is usually good for a short, or good for a trade, good for a bounce. In this case, I put my order on here. Me and some of the partners put our orders on here at 131.76, and the thing came up to 131.75, and it didn't fill us at 76, and then it dropped 100 points, or pretty close to 100 points. Did it drop a full 100? Yeah, it dropped 100 points to the tick. It dropped 100 points from our entry. I'm sorry, not 100 points, 100 ticks from our entry, which would have been the equivalent of 25 ES points. And it did all that in less than an hour. It did that in a half an hour, 40 minutes. Yeah, a little over half an hour. It did that. We had a second possible entry right here that we looked at, but we didn't take because we weren't sure how much lay it had left in it. And then finally, right as we were about to take a break, I had projected these areas here where the arrows are. This is where it actually touched. It didn't touch over here, but I projected the elbow break over here and for it to start doing divergence here. And I know Charles had traded this, gone long here at 31.04, 31.05, right in that area. And it drew down, 30.94, drew down 11 ticks or so. But it ended up moving up to 31.19. So it moved up, 14, 15 ticks from entry, depending where the entry was, if you got your fill. Right now you can see it's starting to move down. And I mean, I can draw these lines in here right now for you, but what I would expect to see is right about over here, I would expect to see some divergence. And when it starts to diverge, I would expect to see the BBC to be about here and price to hit the BBC somewhere in that area and be looking for a short. So, I mean, I'm just projecting that right now. You have to wait until it actually happens to see. But you see we're going right into a zone right here. And the zones usually hold. This is the zone the first time down. It bounced off it. And this will be the second bump right here, but we'll see. I mean, there'll be plenty of room, I think, probably to take the trade from the BBC down to the zone. But we'll see how it all develops. All right. Let's see. I think that that is going to be it on the morning. I believe that. Let me just look at the 7 minute here quickly, because I think we had a pullback to the line in the sand. And we might have gone through the line in the sand a little bit. It's taken it a minute here to populate my window because I'm using up all the resources on my computer right now. Anyway, we did have a pullback to the line in the sand, and it did go through it a little bit, but usually you're going to get a bounce off. There it is. It did go through it a little bit. You see the thick blue line right here is the line in the sand after the bullish cross. It pulled right back down to it, went through it a point, 2 points maybe. And I usually say you're going to get a 2 point bounce off, but you usually get a lot more than two. In this case right here, we got about a 5 point bounce off so far. All right. But that could be all it's got left in it. You know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, guys, that is it. If anybody has any questions about any of this stuff, just type it right in here and I'll answer it as quickly as I can. There. All right, the recording is done. So now if anybody's got any questions, they won't be in the recording. All right, thank you. Thank you, sir. Now,
all right.
Let's see if I can...
Hey, chart you had in the middle right there, the one you just
yes.
changed?
The one I just got rid of?
Mm-hmm.
The 7 minute?
Mm-hmm. Can you show
it
again?
Back. It's coming back. There it is.
So what you're saying is that when price pulls back there on that 7 minute, now, did you say this was an intraday chart?
It is.
In other words, you don't show the Globex hours on this one particular chart. Is that what you're trying to say?
That is exactly what I'm saying. There are no Globex hours. That's why you see the big gaps.
All right, let me see if I got this straight. Price ran up and hit. Now, those horizontal lines, what is that?
These lines right up here,
yeah.
These lines are weekly trading zones.
Okay, and so, in other words, price reversed and came all the way back down and hit that thick blue line?
That thick blue line, which is the line in the sand.
Okay, now, when that happens, what did you say typically happens?
You typically get at least a 2 point bounce off of it. We, in this case, got a 5 point bounce.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope. No, it's a pretty common thing. Happens quite often.
Scroll back.
It's, you know, if we suppose I just show you, we have a lot of gaps here now.
There it was.
Let's
again.
Just see. Here's one. Look at that. Here's one right here. Now, It dropped here, and we're looking for our first pullback. Oh, there's our first pullback. Now, what kind of a bounce was that? From, we'll say it's from 38, even lower. We'll say it's from 38 quarter, 38 even maybe. It dropped all the way down here. All the way down there. That's, let's just say it drops down to 25 even. That's 13 points.
Two words come to mind. Oh, snap. Some of you won't get that, but some of you will.
And then we had a gap up. You see?
Oh, my God.
Big gap up. And then it gapped down, so we didn't have any opportunity in this. So with all this gapping that's going on here, it's all the Globex that's causing these gaps. All right, this one here, I usually say about a two-point bounce. This was 1228 at the end of the day. 1228, and that one dropped down to 1227. So this one only gave about a one-point bounce.
Ha.
And then we had a huge gap up, and that brought us to today.
I knew it couldn't be perfect.
It's not perfect.
Okay, can I just buy that one indicator? Or do I have to buy them all?
You want
to
do what?
Can I just buy that one indicator right there, or do I have to buy them all?
Well, no, you have to buy them all because it's part of a package.
Ah,
it's a big package.
I see.
And if you got just this one indicator, I mean, you can see back here where we've scrolled to, these gray lines, they seem to be kind of in the middle. Now, wouldn't it be better if you had a gray line right up here? Because that was last week, and if I remember correctly, we did have a gray line right up there. These gray lines are refreshed every week. Every week you get a new set of these gray lines, and they last for the whole week. You see?
Big,
you see those gray lines?
So what you're saying is this makes a wonderful Christmas gift because it's in a package. Do we gift wrap this for the folks? Is that, am I to understand that correctly? You know, stores
absolutely
don't gift wrap anymore.
Absolutely. We'll even send an e-card with it.
Wow. Foggy Mountain Breakdown. Okay. Well, you heard it right here, guys, live on CFRN. For that special someone under your E-tree, the CFRN indicator set. We'll put a bow on it. Speaking of gifts, I know somebody, Octavia Tovar, is going to have a big Christmas because he's got an iPad 2 on the way to his door, actually being shipped. I was going to do a map. I wonder if I could still do that. You know where we like track the little UPS truck from China all the way to his door?
Yeah, yeah.
Without revealing his actual address? I'll play with
that.
You
could do it to the state. Or to, I don't know, the area in the United States. To a state nearby. Yeah, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can track it
UPS
to some degree.
Number. Come on. One of your items has shipped. Okay, where's my tracking number? I bet you they don't give you a map. Track shipment. Here we go. In transit. Okay. It made it to Korea.
All right. First stop in the plane.
Last location. Yeah, I wonder. Departed Incheon, Korea, Republic of... Whatever. Royal Republic of South Korea. Tuesday, 12/13/11. In transit. Shipment progress. See, guys, the iPad started out in China on 12/12. Original scan, departure scan, then it went to Chengdu, then it went to Shanghai, and currently, Octavio, your iPad is on a loading dock somewhere it's actually on a truck or plane, leaving Incheon, Korea. Now, I've been to Pusan and Chenhe, but I've never been to Incheon, so... I wish they had a map. Why can't they let you see this on a map?
Well, there's probably some way you could draw a map. I think you could Google map it from one location to the next. Couldn't you?
Probably.
not exactly sure how to do that from one country to the next, but it can be done, I'm sure.
Let's go Incheon, Korea. Let's go maps. There it is. I found your iPad. Right there is the airport.
Sweet. We can't see it, Dwayne. We're looking at my charts.
Oh, you mean I did all that for nothing? Dude.
Not for nothing. You can have the charts back. Hang on, let me give them back to you.
All right.
Oops. Hang on. That was, I almost gave them to the wrong one. This one.
Boy, I'm just backing away right like everybody can see my screen. Okay, now you can see my screen. All right.
Yes.
Now, let's do that all over again. It was originally processed in on the 12th, and it left the factory in Chengdu, China. It went to Shanghai, China, and it's currently in the belly of a plane leaving Incheon, Korea, which is right here. Let's see, what do we want? We want...
So it went from China to Korea?
Yep. That's how they roll, I guess.
Oh, they're gone. Okay, I see. I was trying to picture globally how they're doing it, but they're... I get it.
Okay. I think I see it right there.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's your package, Octavia.
That's it, man. It's on the way. He's going to come here. I already talked to him. He's going to come on the show once he gets it and tell us how excited he is. And he's going to download the... you know what? I never tried to download the CFRN app to my iPad. I only have it on my iPhone. So, speaking of, for those of you who have not heard about this little novelty... And it's no small novelty. If you go to any page of the CFRN site, on the right-hand side, you'll see an iPhone, eMini Futures app. Click that, and it will take you to the wrong place. Really? Did I do that?
I am not knowing.
I did. I linked the picture to there the right place, but I got the words wrong. I'll have to go fix that. Got a smartphone? No, not that smartphone. This one or this one? Appulus. You are cordially invited to be a beta tester. Now, don't point your desktop browser to this address. Simply point your smartphone browser, okay? Because you can't download the app onto your desktop. It has to go onto an iPhone or an Android phone. So you've got to actually open the browser on your smartphone. Everybody emails me, oh, it doesn't work. It's got to go on your phone. Also, if you use the iPhone, it wants to auto-spell correct e-mini and make it e-ninny, as if that were a word. Okay, you'll have to fight with it to make it accept e-mini. But once you overcome that hurdle, then the application process is uber simple, and you'll be able to listen to the podcast, daily audio Bible, look at pictures and videos and other stuff yet to come. All right? So, click this until I can get this link fixed. I believe I didn't test that. Click the phone itself. It'll take you to this page. All right? Okay, Michael, anything else you want to add before we go to David?
Nah, we should head out there. We're a little late getting out to David.
We are.
So,
hey, there's Octavio. Hey, you're welcome, buddy. And, you know, it's in Korea, so it's probably about 3, 4, 5 days at the most away from you. All right, guys, we're going to pause for a short station identification, and we'll be right back with David Williams from PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3663. 3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Wayne.
David, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, Dwayne reported that there's a picture of you on the website somewhere. Didn't he say that this morning?
He said there was a picture that somehow represented me, yes.
Oh, it wasn't really of you, but represented you.
It was a reasonable
I'm guessing that's what...
facsimile. Which I feel all properly right. Exudes his coolness. So
okay, well, that's fair enough.
Down here we go.
All right, take a look at it.
There he is.
Oh, that's there
me.
It is.
There you go. That's me.
All right. Well, that's good. Now at least I know what you look like if I see you on the street. Here in Las Vegas, I'll reckon. Hey, that's Michael.
I look exactly like that. I do.
That's good. I never knew you were black, but that's okay. You know, some people don't sound that way.
So, yeah, hey, you never know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Dwayne, we've got a world filled with events and news that has moved this market. If you believe in news, and I do, but I also believe in technical analysis. I believe both of them are sourced very much in the same cycles. But quite a bit of news has come out making the recent decline off of the high that was made roughly on December 5th. And that decline has been very choppy coming down from those highs. This has been a very tricky market to trade in. It's had some really nice moves, and we've caught some nice moves, and as you guys have as well, in day trading. We're not doing any overnight trading right now, but we are doing the day trading. So, as usual, people, as they always do, have to be very careful in trading in markets. You have to use capital that you're willing to lose. Not that you must, obviously. You don't have to lose it, but it has to be money that you could lose, and it wouldn't affect your lifestyle. And that's why I always encourage people to open accounts, at least initially, with small amounts of money. Don't go open up a, you know, $50,000 account. Even if you have significantly more money, what's that?
Even if you have $50,000.
Yeah, because people tend to lose what they put up initially. Now we're talking about initially. Later, when you get better and you're more centered on what it is, when you know what you know, when you're able to do what you know, then you can start upping your account size. And a really good rule if you're new in the markets is to simply let your own success determine your growth. Rather than starting with a large amount of money, let your account build up some and build it up by trading properly. People tend to be sloppier with larger amounts of money. Our government is a good example of that. Any government is a good example of that in most cases. Can't say any government because there are some governments that are better at this. But as you put more money in a trading account, you tend to be sloppier with it because you have enough there to, you know, take the heat. But the problem is that it's a bad habit to take the heat. You have to pick a spot that's going to make you wrong and on the chart and honor that stop by getting out of the market. It means that you'll lose money, but it also stops you from losing more. And that's the balancing factor. And it really is an advantage, as we've talked about on this program so many times. It's an advantage to be able to get out of the market. Many people would have liked to have been able to get out of their homes or get out of some business investment they made, but they're stuck.
and in the markets you can get out at any point. So don't throw that away. That's actually an advantage to you as opposed to a form of a punishment. Oh, if I'm going to do the right thing, I have to spend more money. I have to take a loss. That's correct. To do the right thing, if the market is moving against you, you have to do that. And in the end, when you learn how to trade properly, you'll end up holding on to that money as opposed to just giving it back. People who complain most about having to place a stop are people who don't know how to trade. Because once you know how to trade, you'll be only too happy to place your stop because you won't want to be in the market, or you'll want to be reversed, as an example, if the market hits a particular level. We had a call for the euro recently. This is a really good example. If I can, Dwayne, I'll just jump right over to this right now.
Sure.
Let's go over to the euro. We had originally sourced this trade off of the December euro, but I'll mention the December euro in talking about it here. We had talked about the market needed to continue to have daily closes above about 133.10 or so. And the market back on, otherwise, by the way, they would go down and attempt 128. Now, this was the opposite side of the original trade, so that, but in this particular case, this would be a trade that you would reverse on, because there is a forecast, essentially a roadmap, that's telling you where prices are going to go if they break that level. And you can see, if you want to, I don't know if you have a chart, if you have a euro up there.
I have it up right now.
I'm sorry?
It's up there right now.
Okay. Yeah, if they break that 133, this is roughly, but 133.10 level, for 2 days, on December 8th and December 9th, they tested that level, closed above it, and then in a somewhat tricky manner, the very next day, they broke it. And that, as you can see, now the move is on. The big move that we're talking about. And when was that move due? It was due on the week of December 12th, this week, right now, the week that we're in. And you can see this is the cycle hitting right now. Now, of course, there's going to be news that's related to this. And people can say, well, the reason it's moving is because of the news. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. My way of saying it is that the news is because of the cycle. That's the only difference. The cycle drives the news, and the news could be said to drive the market. In reality, there's not much distinction between all of that because, you know, you could turn it into a chicken and egg thing. It doesn't need to be. All of it runs together. Cycles in the market and news cycles are very closely related. You can see that this big move started on the very week that was the on-time week for that cycle, and that's very common. We see this quite often in both short-term and longer-term work with the roadmap. So had a person been stopped out, or had the market broke that level, that 133.10, and decided to continue holding on to his position, he would now be in trouble in this position. If he has a large trading account, then everything's okay because he has enough money to withstand this drawdown, right? But that's completely wrong. That's utterly wrong, and you won't have a very large trading account for very long if you continue to trade that way. I have personal experience in that, and I think a number of people do as well. It doesn't matter what the size. I'm not saying I have personal experience necessarily in starting with a large trading account. I happen to in my particular case, but I'm just saying that anybody with a large trading account who has traded in that manner, just allowing positions to go, knows what I'm talking about. It won't be so large in for after a little while. That trading account won't be as big as it was. It'll get smaller pretty quickly. It gets smaller much faster than it gets bigger, that's for sure. So why do that? And so you stop yourself out, and in this particular case, you would be reversing or initiating a position because we didn't get long. We didn't have a position. We would only want to have been long in the December contract once they got above 135.20 on a daily close, which they were unable to do. So they sort of faked out, in a sense, to the upside, failed there, and then we broke the lower level. So we are expecting lower prices excuse me, to continue on the downside here. And as I mentioned, test of 128.70, basically, is the target that I've talked about on the downside if the euro decided to continue lower by breaking that level. This is one of the nice things about tying together these important time periods with breakouts, because then the breakout can be taken with quite a bit of certainty. And even if the breakout, by the time they close below that critical level, there often is quite a bit of move left. In this particular case, there definitely was. And so a person could be short, and I hope somebody is short based on this, because this is a roadmap that should run to its targets. We certainly have enough volatility and news all around the world. We have gotten, by the way, speaking of news, we have gotten some less bad news recently. The unemployment numbers had dropped a little bit. And we also went from 9.1 unemployment, 9.1%, down to 8.6. If you, you know, follow the figures, and I do, I think the real unemployment numbers are really much higher than that, probably closer to 18%, probably closer to double that. But the way that they count it, and, you know, there's people who have stopped looking for work, and there's a number of other factors that are not taken into the way that it is presented. But that's the way that it's presented, and so we'll take it at its face value. We've gone from 9.1% for about 29 months. It was above 9. And then now we've broken below that and down to 8.6%, which is very good news. There's no two ways about it. That's, well, put it this way, it's pretty good news. It's pretty darn good news that that happened. Had that not happened and we were still above 9.1, that would be worse. So we're definitely going in the right direction now. And I'm hoping to see further decline, in spite of the fact that that will help this administration look like they had something to do with it, which they did not have something to do with this. That's a fact. They did not. What this administration's done is spent enormous sums of money, the largest amount of money in the history of America, all presidents combined, all administrations combined. This administration has increased the deficit by more than all of them combined, $4.4 trillion. They would have done more if they could have. They would have spent more if they could have. It's a fact. They've spent more than any other administration. The problems in Greece, the problems in Europe, Spain, those problems are because governments spent more money than the people could reasonably pay in taxes. They raised those taxes so that they could continue spending. And finally, the whole thing came down. That's a fact. Whether you're far left or far right, I challenge you to show me that that's not a fact. The governments, in fact, spent more money than the taxation system could support. They raised taxes to the levels that Europe has, which in some cases go up to 90% in England, as an example, and some other places. And even that couldn't support the government's growth, entitlement programs, unearned benefits that they gave out, spend, spend, spend. And go take a look at what the result of that is. This isn't a beat-up session on the Democrats. These are facts. If you spend more than you take in, we have something in America called bankruptcy, where you go bankrupt because you spent more money individually than you can take in and reasonably pay off those debts. That's what these governments did. That's where we are going down that path. That's a fact. We are going down that path. I challenge you to show me that that's not a fact. We've added $4.4 trillion in debt. We continue to borrow insane amounts of money. And that the government is going to have to turn to the people so that we can pay more of our money to them. So not so they can pay those debts off, so they can spend more money and produce more programs and grow government bigger. This government has also grown our administration by nearly 30% in this three-year period. So our deficit has gone up by $4.4 trillion. The government has grown by 30%. And if they were left to their own resources, They've made it very clear that they would want to have a second stimulus and a God knows what else. Spending is the problem. We have to stop spending. We have visual proof right in front of us of what happens when you go down the road of saying, well, all we'll do is we'll just keep increasing the taxes, whether it's tax increases on the rich or whether it's tax increases on the middle class or whether it's hidden taxes. When you keep increasing the taxes so that you can keep growing government, the whole thing blows up. And I've got three really nice countries I'd like to show you where that exact thing as a fact happened. So if you are somebody who believes in growth of government and just continuous spending of new programs, no matter what you think the programs are worth, I mean, who they're going to help, whatever it is, because everybody, nobody wants to see somebody else suffer. No, anybody who needs help should get help. But that doesn't mean that you just keep taxing people higher and higher rates and keep continuing to build more and more programs. It turns out that we have given Greece $40 billion to try to help bail Greece out. You think that's a good idea? You think it's a good idea that a country that has just gone hog wild on spending and taxing and spending should get a bailout? Because if they do get a bailout, the argument could be made that our banks won't fail. Well, and we do have some banks that are connected to them. Some of them may have to fail. Why is failing such a terrible thing? What? Because, you know, in the end, if you don't allow something to fail, then those people never learn a lesson, and they never change their behavior. They just do the same thing again because there'll be another bailout. That's why. It's about time there were some failures. It's about time somebody didn't bail someone else out, so that these countries would understand from a very practical perspective that you just can't operate that way. And we, the taxpayers, paid for their bailout, that $40 billion. I don't know if you're aware of that.
You know,
bothers me a bit.
There was some government agency yesterday put out a very beautiful graphic flow chart of our debt, our spending, compared it to past years. And I was going to retweet it last night, and I didn't. And now I'm scrolling through my flipbook or my flipboard on my iPad trying to find that chart, and it seems to have disappeared. I thought it odd that a government agency was putting out this chart, which was, you know, by all shakes, not pro the current administration.
Right.
Which I thought, well, that's kind of refreshing, you know. But now I really wanted to show that thing because it takes everything that you just said and puts it into a beautiful graphic display mm-hmm. of how horrible the situation is. Not to depress anybody at Christmas, but it is. So
I want to ask the people on the far left, what do you think is better? To come up with program after program to help people, in many cases, correctly, and in many cases, not correctly, giving unearned benefits to people, handouts of all types. What do you think is better? To do that, to appease people, to keep people happy, to whatever your thing is, so that they get what you think they should have in these entitlement programs and this just gratuitous, wasteful spending. What do you think is better? To do that? Or is it better to, or here's a better way to put it, instead of is that better, which one would you rather have? You can go do that, but in the end, you're going to be hurting all kinds of other people when the whole system collapses. If you keep doing what you want to do, which is to just grow government and give money away, and give unearned benefits away, then ultimately what you see happening in Spain and Greece and Europe overall is going to happen to your country, which happens to be America. And doesn't that hurt people? Doesn't, when that happens, doesn't that hurt thousands and thousands of people? Aren't you the person that, aren't you the one that's saying, well, I want to help people? I don't want to see people hurting, and that's why we have all these programs for this, that, and the other. And some of it's good. Some of those programs are good. But probably 80% of them are complete waste, fraud, mismanagement. And when you do that and you turn to the taxpayers and have to keep raising taxes, et cetera, and when everything crashes, then where are you? in all this when you look at and see all these people who you've hurt now by spending foolishly, by wasting money, by causing a economic system to collapse entirely? Where are you in all that? Doesn't that bother you? It bothers you enough to want to create the program in the first place to go out and help people, and I actually applaud you for that. But where people go wrong is that there's 15 of those programs, and 14 of them are complete wastes, 15 on each separate program. Each one has 15 redundant programs behind it. And so, yeah, I applaud you for wanting to help people, even if it's in a wasteful way. But the fact is that you're going to end up hurting way more people than you help if the whole economic system collapses. Have you ever thought of that? Has it ever crossed your mind that unending spending and constantly raising taxes will ultimately implode exactly like what we're seeing across the pond? And if that happens, that hurts way more people than you in your best day and your best programs ever helped. It hurts everyone. So does it not make some sense to you that we have to balance your need for extensive government programs, government growth, constantly looking for new ways to quote-unquote help people? We have to balance that at some point with the fact that if the whole system collapses, we're all going to be hurting a lot more, and you will actually end up hurting more people than you ever helped. And now the ledger doesn't look so good anymore. Go again, take a look at what's happening in the streets of all these countries where this is going on. Those people aren't happy. They don't have work. They don't have the government money. And someone's going to have to take a hit. And the fact that you want another bailout and you want somebody to be saved, is it really always good to save somebody, save some company, always good to bail something out? Is that always the good thing to do? I don't think so. I really don't. I think the system works beautifully when your own acts are allowed to replicate themselves. If you don't do good in business, businesses go out of business. If you don't get it right, you go try something else. But in the real world, everyone doesn't get a bailout. And when people do get a bailout, it ends up being wasted money in many, many, many cases. Our government has done it many, many times. And I will say this, they did bail out GM, and to GM's credit and to their credit, GM's paid back either all or a substantial portion of that money. Thank God that worked out. There's been a whole bunch of other bailouts that haven't worked out so well, and you know what they are. So the whole business of bailing out and stuff, why is letting something fail so terrible? Nature does it all the time. It's right in front of you. And yeah, but we want to protect everything. We don't want to have anybody have to take the hit. No one wants to take the hit. No, you're not going to lower my pension. You're not going to do this. Well, all that comes about because too much money was spent. So that's my point, is that you, whoever you are, who wants to have government grow and have constant raising of taxes so that more government programs can quote-unquote help people, you are going to be one of the sources for hurting more people than you've ever helped when the economy collapses, because economies will collapse when you do that. You don't need any more evidence than to pick up your newspaper. So consider that. There has to be a balance somewhere in there. There has to be a balance so that doesn't happen, so that there isn't suddenly. And then, of course, when it does happen, you know, are you going to be taking any of the blame? No, you're going to be pointing your finger somewhere else. But the simple fact is that by spending more than you take in, taxing people more until finally the whole thing blows up, that's not a good way to run a program. It doesn't work in business. It doesn't work in your home life. It doesn't work in anywhere, including the government. It only looks like it works in government because we can hide it, because there's so much money going around. We can hide it. Oh, and we can do something really neat. It's called borrow money. That's what we can do. We can always just borrow more money.
Or
we can sell treasury bills and promise to pay that back. That's what we can do. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to get onto the markets again.
Talk.
You know, our government and their government doesn't have, their meaning Spain, Portugal, Greece, they don't have spending limits. They don't have what's the bill called it's a cap on spending where you can only spend what you take in, except for extreme purposes. I mean, there has to be a special otherwise, but we don't have that. See, we don't have it. They don't have it. Do you have any guess? Could you just guess why that might be? Why after all this time that we've had government in the United States that there isn't? They've talked about it. for every dollar we spend, we're going to reduce some other program. They've talked about it. That's not happening. It's not going to happen. There's a really good reason why that doesn't happen. It's a really bad reason, really, to be honest. It's a really bad reason why that doesn't happen and isn't going to happen. And you think about that, why that reason would be. Why would it be that the government doesn't ever put into motion a program that would limit its spending to what it takes in? That's your test. Think about that. Our government doesn't have it. Spain doesn't have it. Portugal doesn't have it. Greece doesn't have it. All of them are in trouble. And as soon as anything goes wrong with the economy, because they're constantly spending more money than they take in and trying to tax more, it hits them really hard. We'll be lucky as America to get through this. I hope we do. Obviously, we all hope we do.
It's a shame Steve Jobs didn't decide to make the little iPhone and the little iPad in America.
What's that?
I said it's a crying shame Steve Jobs chose not to make the iPhone and the iPad in America. That could have created a whole lot of jobs.
Yeah. His last name is Jobs.
Yeah, funny.
Would have worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Also, I want to talking about what people can do, because there's certain things that don't make sense and certain things that, you know, our government's faux pas are in the headlines every day. So, but we can hash them till the sun comes home and till the chickens come home. That's right. And it's not going to, whatever. However, here's something that many of you may not know, and I'm going to just give you this real quick, and then we'll go to the markets. If you invest in a startup, okay, qualified small business stock, as defined by the IRS, okay, and I'm not going to go into the lengthy qualification, but it's really just a small business stock. If you invest in a startup between now and January 1st, and if you're looking for a startup, give me a call. But anyway, if you invest in a startup before January 1st, okay, and if you hold that for 5 years, your capital gains tax is zero. Zero. Now, that's a special incentive that was put in place September 27th of 2010. It's going to expire January 1 of 2012. Congress could extend it, but they may not. Now, if you miss that window of opportunity, then it reverts to the old rule, which is 50% of your capital gains are tax-free. But right now, you invest in a startup, you see something you like out there on the horizon, and you got to make sure it qualifies. You got to go to your accountant, make sure that what you're investing in qualifies. Okay? Now, the thing's got to make money. It's got to still be around in 5 years. But if after 5 years you've held it and you do have capital gains, tax-free. That's a good deal if you
That's a great deal.
Good startup to invest in. So there are some things out there that are the total opposite of what David was just talking about. All this just spend with no end in sight. That's crazy. This makes good sense. This encourages people to put their money to work, to believe in America, and it doesn't say that it's got to be a company that makes their products in America. So I haven't gone to the IRS site to read what the qualifications are for the small business stock, but I'll put that in the show notes tonight, Robert. It's an article that was posted. Who posted that? TechCrunch. I follow those guys on Twitter. If you go follow TechCrunch on Twitter, it'll pop right up to the top of your feed. TechCrunch. Okay, David, let's do markets.
It is. Okay, well, we will. One last thing I was just going to mention is that I'm not trying to be negative. I'm being factual.
No, I agree.
Program.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. These are facts, and facts speak for themselves, and that's all they do. You can take them positively or negatively and work with them. I think Dwayne is actually onto something, because I think there's a number of other little deals like that where a person can take advantage of that. They may be somewhat little known things that were passed, et cetera, that Congress passed some rule, some legislation of some kind that allows you to do something in a certain way that you can take. There's deals out there, so to speak. You know, there's good things that you can do out there to save yourself some money, and that have been put in place, perhaps quietly, that allow you to get ahead, you know, and not have to pay capital gains taxes on, like as an example, that. And I think there's a number of other ones. I have a couple of friends that are pretty much experts at understanding the law regarding taxes and some other things. And maybe I should speak with them and see if there's some other, I don't know if they would want to give them out or not, but or especially over the radio. But, I mean, they're there. They're factual things. Or you can contact the IRS, and like Dwayne said. But it is true, no doubt, that there's a number of things there that are very important potential money savers over time. And, you know, if a startup does run, one of the things I was going to say about that deal, let's say you did pick up a startup, and 5 years later the thing's really cooking, or even 10 years later it's really cooking. You made a huge, potentially a huge investment or a huge return on investment with zero capital gains tax. That's remarkable, because it's taxes that make it so difficult for you to accumulate money. If 20%, 25% of your income goes away, that makes it very difficult for most people to accumulate money. And in this particular case, you could you know, save that, and that could be a very sizable deal at the end of a period of time. You'd have to do a number of those. You wouldn't just bet right the first time, perhaps, maybe, but you know, you could do a number of them, invest in them, and save yourself that capital gains. So I think it'd be a good idea for people to take a look at that IRS site and some other, or even ask a professional, spend a day, spend an hour with a professional, and find out some of the little neat little things that are not even really loopholes. They're just there that you may not know about. Don't believe in anybody who says there are no taxes, though, because those things don't. I mean, taxes are there. You know, the whole business about taxes, right. You know, it's really, it's in the code somewhere that Nobody has to pay taxes and all that stuff.
A lot of those guys are in
Don't
jail.
Go down that path.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, if you want to have that discussion, there's a captive audience out there willing to talk to you about it.
Right.
A captive audience, get it behind bars? Yeah.
Yeah, captive. That's very good, Dwayne.
Yeah, guys, you got to pay your taxes. I mean, you just do.
You can't just listen. You have to get, you know, you have to understand these jokes as they're hitting you. Right, Dwayne?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Okay. So let me finish up on the euro here real quick. So For whatever reason, the euro, news-wise or otherwise, has broken that level. In the March contract, that same level would be about 133, say 15 or so. They broke that. And so I like selling rallies in the euro now. So any rally, for those of you who have reflected wave and want to sell reflected wave tops on the way down to lower prices, I like that idea. That's what we've done. And you can see the move is underway. It has picked up speed. As soon as they broke that level and closed below it, they've picked up speed on the downside here. And we're in the on-time week for the market to complete the 128 level, but it may take another, you know, we have plus or minus 1 week for them to do it. It'll be this week or next and when they finish that. So I like shorting this, and this is a really good example of a market that is going the other way, but because of the news and the uncertainty that was in the air, we mentioned both sides of this trade. We're doing the downside. And so I think it's a good idea to look for short positions in the euro. So consider that. Don't trade larger than you can afford. And definitely at this point, there should be no closes back above that level that we just discussed. In fact, I just took the chart off, so let me go get it one more time. There should be no daily closes above 133.15. I know that's quite a distance now because we're at 131. You can find a spot somewhere in here to get short. And should be able to anyway for lower prices. So, Dwayne, any comment on the euro from your side?
No, David, other than this hour right here by this is a 100 pip hour, this red candle. And if I'm not mistaken, that's when there was Merkel made some announcement. I don't remember what it was. We were talking about it in the live trading room. Michael and the guys tried to get into this euro trade on the short side when this hour was unfolding, and they missed it by a couple ticks getting filled. But we did trade the the washover effect, or whatever you call it, in the S&P and also in the Dow. It looks like it's trying to set up some kind of a bottom here. I mean, it's flattening out. It could prepare right here. This was a perfect example of a pullback and a continued drop. But we've had one, two really nice pushes down. Now, you said that you had a number down. Where's your number below us here?
Well, the roadmap is at 128.70.
Okay.
So
you're still
looking, we have plenty of room on the downside
still. You're
still
looking for further decline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, we said this about 2 weeks ago. I don't know what rabbit they could pull out of their hat to turn this thing around. And then the very next day, they pulled some rabbit out that...
Right, other hat. Right,
it,
exactly.
It didn't bear the light of day.
And that still wasn't the real rabbit.
No.
That wasn't the real rabbit that would have taken it higher. But they never did close above that 135.20, which sent the prices back down. And ultimately, we've had this break. One thing I do want to add, Dwayne, and I'm sorry if I interrupted you there, but I just want to mention this. It's very interesting that if we do get down and complete the 128.70 level or lower, but in this particular case, if we really don't go much below it, then there is the potential for a sizable reversal off of the low that they make either this week or next. And so that would be a very powerful move that would send prices sharply higher from where we are. And I, you know, could give you that number. I'm going to tell you now that it could be a very fast inching in on 400 pips to the upside. So we want to be short now. Don't take that information and process it right now. We don't want to be long. So don't confuse that with where we are right now. We want to be short. We want to sell rallies for further decline, because that's where the market is right now. Later, after we get into next week, and next week is really the last trading week for us anyway, for the year, then there will be a potential turnaround and very sharp reversal, because there's a number of important cycles, and again, cycles are tied to news. My argument would be that cycles actually cause the news, and that the news then has its effect on markets. People respond to that, because there's no question, obviously, that people, if they hear news that they feel is bad, would tend to sell whatever investment they have if it was bad for the future of that, et cetera. But these cycles and news work very close hand in hand. It doesn't have to be a chicken and egg thing. But my view of it is that if you want to take human nature into it and say this is how human beings act, well, then the cycle causes the news, and then the news causes the people to act. The people, that's us.
Hey, so, hey David, the jackals in the chat room are beating me over the head with a Michael X stick. Can you update us?
And what's a Michael X stick? Oh, I certainly can, and I'm very sorry to have to say this.
Oh,
God. I know. Well, listen.
You got to be kidding.
I wish I was kidding, but let's just put it this way. We had trouble last time. Remember, for those of you who came to the seminar, we thought he was going to be at one of them, and then he came to a second, you know, came to the next one. So he, you know, gets involved. He's very news-oriented in his trading. He didn't want to do anything today because today we have a Fed interest rate announcement. And so he didn't want to travel today. He was going to come out on tomorrow, Wednesday, but he felt that he would have too many positions on. So I said to him this morning, because I spoke to him very early, before the markets open, I said, you want to just put this off until January of next year? And he says, no, listen, I know. He said, no, because I wanted to give him a way out. I don't want to, you know, keep nagging him.
Yeah, I follow you.
So I just said, you want to do that? And he said, no, he says, I want to come out. I said, well, we're running out of time because next week is our last week. We're not going to be, you know, we won't be here after the 22nd. So if you're going to do that, it's really, you have to come out on Sunday. And so he says, yep, okay, I'll do that. Now, he's in the middle of his trading day. He's very much a different person than he is when you talk to him in a normal, you know, non-trading environment. He sounded actually pretty normal today, but this was before the market opened. So maybe, you know, we'll see him next week. But this is, I don't want anybody to get their hopes up too much, because it's a disappointment for all of us, because we set up the office. Darn, we had it cleaned to have him here. That's big.
And, I sent thousands of email invitations out twice.
Yeah, We set up a nice desk for him. We moved our TV. We put it up on the. We got a flat panel and put it up on the wall for our TV and just rearranged things.
I won't be able to show my face on the information superhighway anymore.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
So I'm expecting him now next week. I'm expecting him on Sunday night. And if that happens, I will call you, Dwayne, and then you can put that out. If he tells me that he's going to do that, and I'll, I know him well enough. I've known him for about 3.5-4 years now, so whatever it's been, I'll nag him.
Yeah, I could be the first person this decade who actually said info superhighway. That's a very 90s term. I mean, come on, when's the last time you heard that?
Yeah, the info superhighway is an old term. But that kind of goes along with your old sort of mullet-style hair.
It does.
And,
That
whole, throwback to the 60s thing that
and
you've got,
trailer
kind of got going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know you have that, right?
I know.
I mean, it's not like you're edgy and crisp and on the leading edge of
Dude, it's the hairstyle style of the gods. I have a book. I have a book on mullets.
Okay. Just want to make sure you knew that. I actually think it's great. I mean, as an example, have you ever met somebody who lives in an era that you just know that, you meet somebody and go, this person is like completely the 80s, and they stay in the 80s. They never move on. Or this person actually, I know somebody who's in the 60s. Their whole life is sourced in the 60s, and it's the year 2012, and they're in the 60s. And so it's kind of neat. It's, in a way, it's, modern is. What's that?
Last year they had a mullet convention, and the only people that showed up were me, Dog Dwayne Chapman, and a bunch of women and a bunch of women who play for the other team.
Oh, okay. Well,
you'll get that.
I think
later.
We've heard enough of that. It's funny that you and Dwayne Chapman both have the name Dwayne, except he spells it differently, and he has a mullet. I don't know what that's all about.
Well,
okay.
Someday I'll tell you.
All right, well, good. Okay, let's move on. Take a look at gold. Gold has done very much the same thing as euro. You can see that we talk about markets having much the same sort of under a rulership for a certain period of time, and they act a certain way. And I've used this many, many times for successful trades to follow markets that are in similar patterns with regard to both cycles, roadmaps, reflected wave, et cetera. Gold had its price of $16.99, which we said we wanted them to touch, and then they made several attempts to. Then they just sliced right through it, and now they're heading lower. I mentioned yesterday as well that today would be the on-time day, December 13th, on-time day for a bottom in gold. And I mentioned yesterday as well that my preference to be a buyer and reverse at these levels would be for the market to test 16.45 or slightly higher. We've not done that yet. Today's low in gold is 16.54. That's not close enough for me to take that trade. If we get to 16.47 and that's all we do, then I'd be interested. But I want to see, before I reverse, here's how I would play this for me. I would either wait for the one day late, which is tomorrow, and finally when the one day late is in, I would consider then going long based off of reflected wave, or I would then, in absence of that, I would wait for them to do the 16.47-45. My preference, obviously, would be for 16.45-47 to be touched and tested, closed above, at the very latest on the one day late, which is December 14th, tomorrow. That would make for a very, very nice setup in gold. And gold has been tricky and choppy, very similar, again, to the S&P. Look at the euro, look at gold, and look at the S&P, and you can see a lot of resemblances there. The S&P did do something unusual out of bounds a little bit from what these markets did recently from December 1st forward for a short period of time, but now they're, the S&P has been moving lower. So gold, we had forecast yesterday that today would be the on-time day for the bottom. They did make a new low today. The only thing that we're missing here is I'd like to see the 1647, 1645 or lower reached, and I'd like to see them close at or above those levels. We can work with this trade. I mean, if they don't do everything we want, we'll still work with it, but it is setting up to be something that is tradable. And so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how the remainder of the week works out. After this date, although there's a date in between, December 21st will be the next important date for gold. So you might want to mark that down that December 21st. And that's, of course, Wednesday, I think, of next week. Thursday might be the 22nd. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but that will be just about the end of really, really busy trading. Most people from that point forward are going to be traveling and visiting relatives and opening gifts. So, and, you know, all of us have our little feminine sides or whatever you want. All men do at some level. And whether they admit it or not, mine is I want to go to New York and I want to go to Macy's. Why? Do I like Macy's? Not particularly. Do I like shopping? Not particularly. But something about Christmas time in New York, A, all by itself, and B, seeing the seven-story Macy's and seeing how they set up every floor is all Christmased out, you know, how they do that in malls. I don't know why, but that just something that strikes a match in me. I just love that. I love seeing the people shopping, and it's just something is very nice about that. And I realize many people get very depressed over Christmas time. It's not necessary to be depressed, obviously, but people do. It's a bad habit is what it is. People get, you know, maybe something bad happened, or I know some people that get depressed around the holidays. And I'm sorry that they go through that, and it's too bad because there's a number of holidays throughout the year that are a lot of fun. Thanksgiving and Christmas are too. But I just love it, and I think Christmas is my favorite time of the year. And I'd like to go to Macy's, see those seven-story setups, all, you know, go through floor by floor. That's an old, old building, probably maybe 80 or 90 years old. I don't know how old that building is, but Christmas in New York is probably pretty nice, just for starters, and then I'd like to see that. So that's some of my feminine side coming through, or whatever it is. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to doing that one year. I'm not going to do it this year, but I'd like to do it.
You've been watching too much Dr. Phil.
No. Actually, it comes from the Twilight Zone. I think the original thing is that there's a bunch of Twilight Zones that had scenes. Some of you may remember one of the Twilight Zones that had mannequins that were in a store, like a Macy's, and at nighttime when the store closed, all the mannequins came alive. They were all real people, but they showed them still as mannequins. And every now and again, one would be allowed to leave and go out into the world for a little while and then come back, and they'd have to be mannequins. And that was in a store like a Macy's there. There's a lot of Twilight Zones. I think it has something to do with Twilight Zones, not a Dr. Phil thing, which I never watch anyway. But
we were talking about your feminine side for the Dr. Phil part. But mannequin thing, there was actually a movie in the 80s. Man, there were a lot of great movies in the 80s called Mannequin.
There were.
What was her name? The blonde girl. I think she was also the mermaid in another movie. Somebody tell me her name in the chat room, please. Daryl Hannah. I got it on my own. Ha! I beat all of you guys. Daryl Hannah, yeah. She was in Mannequin. She was on Wall Street. She was on, was it A Fish Called Wanda? Is that the one I'm, yeah. Anyway, she was the mannequin. Maybe. That was kind of interesting. Duane, I had to take a call when David first came on. Did he already cover the ES? And if so, would he mind giving me a quick summary? Thanks.
Not at all.
That's from Ed.
Couple things on the ES. We've talked about this too, and I want to say that the markets have been, because of the world, news events, et cetera, been very choppy and back and forth. You have to be very careful trading these. I know you guys all know that, but I just want to remind you of that. The S&P has a very interesting setup on it right now, interesting and potentially very profitable. One of the reasons it's interesting is because December 14th, as I mentioned last week, December 14th is the next important cycle for this market, and that's tomorrow. So we have something very important lining up for this market coming into tomorrow, and I'm setting it up right now as I speak. So give me just one moment here, and let me take care of this and get that up for you. So with that in mind, I'm going to open up one more browser here. Just give me a moment here. Let's take a look at this. This is tradable. This is actually pretty good. Now, you know, today we have this Fed announcement. I don't think it's a good idea to be long or short in front of a Fed announcement unless you really know what you're doing.
Yeah, I agree.
And to be blunt, I just don't think you should do it no matter what you know. I think you should stay aside and wait for the market to show its hand. But here's the deal. Yesterday I mentioned on the program that 1232 would be a very important level for them to close at or above. And, you know, yesterday they closed at 1229.25, just a point, two points something right below that. And so I am going to consider, just because visually for me it's so close that I don't really consider that a breach of 32. It is below it just by a point or two, you know, 2 points, 2.5 points. And on a daily chart, that's very small. Today we reversed and we've advanced some. We're waiting on the announcement. That's what the market's going to do between now and the announcement. It's going to be very quiet, waiting on the announcement. What are they going to do? Are they going to raise interest rates?
Are we 30 minutes away?
No, of course not. It's going to be a pretty much everyone's going to be listening to their opinion about the economy and act upon that. So it's not everybody knows, I think, that they're not going to raise interest rates. Would you agree, Dwayne, with that?
Yes, I agree.
It'd be kind of odd to raise them at this time.
No.
So it's just going to be the Fed opinion that comes out that's going to move the market. Well, here's what we want to do with this. Okay. In the world of roadmaps, the market under normal conditions would, while it's, if it stays above 32, I'm going to give both sides of this out, because just like we did with the euro, and interestingly enough, the euro has already shown its hand. So the question is that a leading indicator to the S&P? That's the question. Under normal conditions, on December 13th, with a daily close above 32, that's 1232, and this is the March contract, then the market would want to have a fast advance to test 1265, 1266. That's a pretty decent run.
That is very
There's
nice.
Definitely something, yeah, that's a definitely a nice little run. That's what I'm saying. This cycle is pretty important here. On the other hand, what I mentioned yesterday was that closes below 31, 32 would indicate a continued decline down to 1198. So we're actually at a kind of a roughly the midpoint, the way the market has laid this out, of two very important levels, one of which will be completed by tomorrow. And that's, of course, tomorrow is plus or minus 1 unit of time. So that could take us into 1 day late if they wanted to. But generally speaking, these this particular, you know, these cycles are pretty, well, they could be one unit late. Let's just leave it at that. If the market begins to break out or do anything on the upside of importance, I'm going to be trading long for the upside, and if it does that on the downside, I will take it short for the move down to 1198 or lower. Okay, so that is the outlook for the S&P, and it's a good, this is actually interesting that the cycle, and again, look at this, the cycle shows up, we talked about it last week, I had no idea about this week's Fed announcement, and you don't really need to know, but they are tied together. Here comes the cycle, here comes the Fed announcement, tying the news and cycles together. So it all runs together, the whole shooting match. So what we want to do is wait for the market to show its hand with the Fed announcement. There may be a spike, an initial move up that is sort of a head fake, so to speak. And then later, if they break below the lows, then you would want to go short. Try to think in these terms with this type of setup, because this is a setup where there's enough uncertainty in the market where rather than just saying the market, if it firms here, it's going to go here, we're giving out both sides. Be ready on either side of the market. So if the market starts to go up, and, you know, for whatever reason you're in, and let's say you get stopped out, and then subsequently they break yesterday's low, and they just start running them down, have some order already, my suggestion, have an order resting there. Because if they do a fake-out breakout, that is, they go up, and then they suddenly realize, no, we're really going to go down, and then they break out on the downside from below yesterday's low, they're going to make really fast business of going down to 1198. And you won't be able to get in waiting for a pullback on anybody's system, mine, Dwayne's, or anybody else's. They're just going to run them. Ain't no two gosh darn ways about it. If they do a fake out breakout, that is where they go up first, look like they're going higher, then they do the down, that's going to be just a smash. And so you have to have orders resting already to participate. And that takes a little kind of guts, you know, because you're just going to get stopped in. things going to run down. And they'll slip your stop, too, most likely. Meaning you'll get stopped in, but maybe at a lower price than what you intended. That doesn't happen so much and so badly as it used to on Globex, but it can on the E-mini electronic. But it can happen. Trust me. It can happen on these fast moves. So you could get filled 2, sometimes 3 points from your stop if the move is really fast. So just understand that. And I was just distracted because CNN just said breaking news, the NTSB is saying that you need to recommend nationwide ban on using cell phones and texting while driving. Aren't they a little late to that party?
It's kind of a long.
They're just coming out with that now? I mean, aren't we all kind of aware of that? Anyway, is that just me, or I mean, that seems a little behind the curve there.
Yeah,
we're recommending that it'd be like recommending that we don't, you know, eat rat poison or something. I mean, that's, we know that.
What time is the Fed announcement?
It's a good announcement.
No, what time is the Fed announcement?
Oh, I think it's 1:15 Chicago time.
So that's in 45 minutes, give or take.
Yes, that is correct.
Because normally on my screen here, they have a countdown going into this thing, and I'm not seeing the countdown. So has there been
That's interesting.
Has there been any news, guys, that they're going to come out with it late or something?
No, not that I'm aware of. And I got the information about the Fed announcement, and if somebody out there knows differently, please let us know, text in. But I got that information from Michael. So, not your Michael, but
right.
Our Michael.
Yeah, I got you.
Michael X.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the news of the day, is that we get the Fed announcements. So, I'm just on the screen here. They normally have a little thing counting it down, but I don't see it.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. And maybe we can call the floor and double check that.
Bert,
to
are
be
you
sure.
there, sir?
But.
Bert, are you there? Bert's not there.
Either way, even without the announcement, everything that we talked about number-wise for December 14th, all that remains the same.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting. Today is Tuesday. Maybe what Michael was telling me was that it's tomorrow, Wednesday, and he wanted to be there. Maybe that's what he was saying. So maybe I misunderstood what he said, that no, he won't be out here because he wants to be there for the
guys in the
Fed
trading room are confirming that it is 2:15 Eastern today.
Okay, and that's what that means. 1:15 Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. So okay, thank you.
Dwayne.
That's good. So we got it right. So either way, those numbers stay the same. Let's go over them one more time for the S&P. Above 32.31, hourly closes above that, a daily close above that continue, or a breakout on the upside continues to confirm for a test or an attempt at 65 to 66, which is a very decent move on the upside. If we break below that, especially if we break below, if we start to go up first and then later subsequently break down below 1220, I rarely do this on the program, and Dwayne, you know that, I would suggest just having a resting stop and just get short. Don't wait for pullbacks, just be short if they do the fake out breakout thing, because that will indicate a very, very fast decline down to that level. And that would again mimic the euro and gold's move, which have happened in advance, this type of a breakout on the downside. So I think it's best not to guess. Don't get tempted into, you know, wanting to pull the handle and guess. It's better to trade it, safer to trade it, make less money with more certainty. That would be the best way to do it. Okay. If you want to gamble, come to Las Vegas. If you want to trade and invest properly, don't mix those two worlds. The people that I talk with just pretty much every day, some of them are large traders, and they either trade in multiple markets or they trade in one market exclusively, sort of like Michael. It's so funny, and anybody could do this. Anybody who's listening to the program could do what I'm doing. And what I'm doing is talking with them about their trading, talking about trading ideas. Where do you want to go long? Where do you want to go short? What do you want to do? And in doing so, they start talking to you about what their ideas are, obviously, and it's a discussion. What you end up seeing after a period of time, maybe a week of talking to them and getting a little familiar if you were doing the same thing, anybody, is that you start to get the impression that they are going to take a number of trades that really don't match their criteria. Or if they match their criteria, they really kind of don't, but they're emotionally attached to the idea that a certain thing is going to happen, that a certain kind of news is going to do something. But in general, my point is that they're not really taking their best trade. They kind of are just, other little forces inside of them are pushing them around. And you know what happens almost invariably on those setups? They lose. And so over time, doesn't mean they always lose, but it means that they lose often on the setups that they feel compelled to be in without the full reasoning that some of their really good trades have. I just think it's going higher. This thing can't go down. I think it's going higher. That's a reason to trade. That's a reason to go long. And they take that and some other little piece of news, and before you know it, they're trading like an amateur. I just think the thing's going higher. And this news is coming out, I think it's going higher. You're going to, I think I'm taking up to the 1300. Yep. And they don't even sound the same. They don't even sound like the same person you're talking to. When they speak to you about a trade that they've well thought out and that has their real skill set involved in, they even sound different on the phone. When they're talking about a trade that they're about to lose in, they sound different. They really do. I think you can believe me when I tell you that. They don't sound like the same person, and I would make the argument that in many ways, they're not the same person. They're actually in a different mood or a different eye. You know, we all have different selves. You know, you act differently in front of different people, etc. Ever notice how you act with a policeman? How different it is than your normal self? Because you know, we have assumptions and considerations that we're giving to a policeman, etc. And so you act differently, and how nervous you might be. Maybe some of you aren't nervous, but you're nervous. He has power over you. He might hurt you. And so you answer questions a different way than you would. And all. Okay, well, that's like being a different person. Well, these people, when they play that side, it becomes pretty obvious in about a week that you're hearing that different person talking. Sometimes those trades work, but in most cases, they're really trading like an amateur in that case. But their other trades, the ones where they've thought them out and worked them out and trading their very trading the sweet spot, that's what they're doing with their other trades, they do very well with. And they sound different, they trade differently, they are different, and they have good results. So I just want to let you know that any of you could see that if you talked with these people. You would hear it just like I do. It doesn't take any special skill, believe me. It's like listening to a person again, the difference between the person talking to a policeman and his normal way of talking. It's that obvious. And so isn't it interesting that even though they have their high-level skills in a specific area of trading, they're still influenced by a lot of the stuff that hurts all of us in trading. The I just think it's doing this. I just want to get long. I just think this news is going to drive it lower. Whatever your thing is, and it's not really your best thing. Hopefully, what I just said isn't angering somebody, because that is your best thing. I hope that isn't your best thing. I just think it's going lower. I just think it's going higher. I think this news is going to drive it to the roof. That's not a good trade in most cases. It's better to have something. So it's interesting that the money that they lose and they trade in size could be saved if somebody could help them get around that thing. And it's one of the most interesting things is that that's one of the most difficult things to get people to do, is when they finally get into that mood, is to talk with them right then and there about that mood, that thing that they're doing right in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult. You might be able to talk to them about it when they're not doing it and when they're thinking clearly, but once they're in that mood, it's almost like they're drunk and you can't get through to them about the state that they're in right then and there. They don't want to hear it. It's going higher. You know, whatever their thing is, whatever they think the market's going to do. So that is something, I'm just bringing it up because I guess we all have that in some degree in ourselves. I like to trade the sweet spot. And I think especially when we have these Fed announcements, it would be foolish to step in front of this. You might just say, I think it's going higher. You might have that same thing, and you might be right. And it's going to look really good on your trading statement. But as a practice over time, it's going to look really bad on your trading statement. It doesn't work out well.
I've gotten it right. I've gotten it wrong. And after careful analysis, the best position for me is up in the bleachers, you know, watching the action down on the field. Do you follow me? I guess you're done.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No, I do. I'm right here.
Tony asks, now here's an interesting question. Tony asks, how about being long in one account and short in another, and then put price targets on both ends? Well, that's certainly a strategy, Tony. You can put a bracket order in similar to the one, and I'm not recommending anyone put this trade on other than, as you notice, those are tweets and it says consider. You know, this is an example of a bracket order. You might want to increase that bracket. You might want to open it up by 5 points, 10 points, whatever you're comfortable with. But the idea that's on the screen is you could consider, as you go into the Fed announcement, and again, I'm telling you, I'm not trading it. You could consider buying 1245 on a stop, okay? It's going higher. Or you consider 1230 on a stop if it's going lower. Now, that is fraught with possibilities to get, you know, triggered in, then stopped out. And how deep is your stop? And are you going to try to pray it back to the direction that you got triggered into when everything suddenly tells you that you're on the wrong side of the trade? So, Tony, that's a good question that you asked. Can you? Yes, you could be long in one account, short in the other, but whichever way it triggers, you've got to be prepared to deal with that. Not that you've been proven right, but that you're now in a live trade and you have to, as David would say, manage the risk. And you have to manage the risk without emotion. You got to forget about, am I right or am I wrong? Because the market will tell you if you're right or wrong, if you'll listen. That's the problem, is we get so hyped up with emotion, and David's talking about that, like you'll talk to somebody, they're in a trade, and it's like they're a different person. Because they're no longer listening to reason. They're listening to that tape in their head that says, I got to be right. You know, my thing, whatever my thing is, told me to be long, and so I'm long, so now the market's got to go higher. And you shut out every bit of information that tells you clear as day the market's going lower. So, in answer to your question, Tony, yes.
Okay, be careful. I'd like to answer Tony's question as well, when you get a second, Wayne, when you're finished.
I'm done. Go ahead.
I don't like that idea, to be honest with you. I've done that stuff myself in options trading and trying to be on both sides, etc. It's probably a better idea to simply, I mean, just take it for what it's worth. It's probably a better idea not to worry about having multiple accounts at this point. And you know what? If you're really experienced in trading, then perhaps. But I think Dwayne made a really good point. No matter how you get into the trade, you're still going to have to manage the trade. Even if it's clever that you have two accounts and one of them went down, the other ones were going up, you still have to manage the risk, et cetera. You know, yes, you can do that. I really would prefer just to see normal setup for the market. If it breaks out, you trade it on the upside. You know, whatever your system is, whether it's Dwayne's or using reflected wave, whatever, to get long, and then place your stop, and if they and place it at a, you know, we're going for larger risk. I mean, larger reward. So the risk is going to have to be somewhat larger as well. But I have had a number of trades recently because of the inversions that have occurred on the roadmaps and that type of behavior, where I have placed larger risk and have been stopped out and have reversed to then make that, either make it all back, which means that I basically broke even, or even get ahead because the roadmap had a big enough move that it could eat up that, you know, whole trade that I just lost on and make it back. Even breaking even is a success. If you have a loss and you can fix that, you just, you know, brought the books back to even. And so that has happened to me. And so that's why I'm saying that sometimes these reversals, where they start one direction, like they often do on a Fed announcement, and then reverse and break below yesterday's low or close below it on an hourly, that starts a very, very fast move, and you kind of almost have to just be in. Just put it this way. However, for Tony, and it's a fair question, and nobody's beating you up, you just want to make sure that you do manage the risk on it and make sure that you know what your risk is when you get in. The odds are that you'll be right if the market starts to run, and if, especially if you get stopped out. I almost prefer that. I've mentioned that before. When a market fakes out and then goes the other way, most traders have already had the starch taken out of them by that, either by being long or short already or by getting hacked about by the move, et cetera. And it does take a skill set to learn to stop and reverse intelligently. Anybody can call up and stop and reverse any position, but to do it intelligently where there's a sizable percentage in your favor and it goes the other way, like it has on me with some of these inversions that we've seen in the roadmaps, and then you take that other position. I tell you, that takes practice to do it in, because you just took a loss. Now you have to go the other direction, and you then have to manage that position as well. So it's kind of like watching the MMA, the UFC, or whatever. It kind of looks easy, but there's an enormous chess game going on inside these guys' heads, and in many cases, they have to very carefully manage their risk as well. They're managing, are they not, boxing or fighting, whatever. They're managing their risk while they're taking their shots. I mean, it's very much like trading. It might look easy from the outside, but it's one hell of a carnival game. The closer you get to it, it starts looking more and more like work. You know, from about 50 feet away, it looks like free money. About 40 feet away, it looks like mostly free. 30 feet away, it starts looking like, well, you may have to do some work. 20 feet away, it's starting to look like this could take some time to learn. 10 feet away, it's like, Jesus, this is a day job. And right up in front of it, you're thinking, you know, I'm working. I am working for this. And you do. And once in a while, they just give it to you. Once in a while, you have these great days where it's just like running a business, where business just walks in the door. But get up in the morning with the idea that you're not looking for a free lunch. That's what I want all of America to do. Get up like you're not looking for a free lunch. And many people do. Thousands and millions of people get up not looking for a free lunch. They want to go out and do their job. Many people do get up and they're looking for jobs, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not beating up Americans in general. I'm just saying I'd like to see everybody do that. You know, don't look for the free lunch. It'll come on its own. You're not going to create the free lunch. It's going to come anyway on its own timetable. And if you're working hard when it comes, it's that much better. So I told you the story or the analogy about the lighthouse, and you're sitting there working in the dark, and that light is swinging around out there. It makes a full 360-degree arc. You might be 120 degrees from it right now. You don't know where the light is, and you're working in the dark, working in the dark. Finally, when that light lands on you, whatever you're doing at that time gets supercharged. The light's on you, and you don't control the light. You can't beckon the light. You can do nothing. It's on its own timetable. It shows up, and if you're working, it supercharges whatever you're working on right down the road. Whoosh. You know, it really puts you way ahead. However, if you're not working, if you're not living at your best when that light lands on you, then it's just kind of a nice day. Seems like a nice day to you. But nothing, it doesn't really push you ahead. If you're working and willing to work in the dark, when the light lands on you, you're going to be in a much better position. So I'm a real fan of, and I'd like a t-shirt that says, work in the dark. Because by doing so, that light will land on you. It will come. That free lunch that we people call free lunches, that's just an expression. The light lands on you, and suddenly, whatever you're doing, you have new insight. You get supercharged. Whatever you're doing, however it works in your life, things zip you up ahead. And that will last for a period of time, and it moves on. It's very fair. It serves all kinds of different people in the world. But it can really put your trading, put your relationships, put whatever it is ahead if you'll be so, quote-unquote, work on it. You know, I don't mean to be shoveling dirt all day and waiting for the light to hit you, but you know what I'm saying, working on your stuff, and the light finally comes and helps you to get way ahead. In trading, it just means, you know, put your best trade on. Wait for your best stuff. Wait for the sweet spot. Even the pros have a problem doing that, and I don't consider myself a pro. I consider myself a market enthusiast. I love markets. I love the fact that they exist. I've been doing it for a long time. I certainly have some skills, but I'm not a professional trader. I don't go to the floor of the exchange. I'm not trading in millions and millions of shares. We do have some larger positions that we put on, and I've sent those to Dwayne. But in reality, I think I fall into the category of somebody who just is fascinated by and loves markets, like most of us. And in being that person, I want to do the very best I can with this money that I have. I'm just like you do. We don't want to waste it foolishly. We want to put it to good work. Whatever your technique is, Reflected Wave or Dwayne's material or anybody else's or your own, wait for the good stuff. You'll do much better if you wait for the good stuff. And learn to trade the sweet spot. Trading the sweet spot is what you're trying to do. The sweet spot means the high probability trade. Understand what you're looking for. And notice how easy it is to get caught up in whatever your moment is. It doesn't even have to be a world moment. It could be your own moment where you're like these guys. Oh, it's going higher. Nope, we're heading to the moon. Nope, the news is going to come out. They're going to take them down. You know, that's where I see most of the bad trading happen, from professionals. Not from you and I, but from professionals. And I happen to think that's probably where most of our bad trades come in as well. So there's nothing wrong with a losing trade, especially if the losing trade was your sweet spot and it just didn't happen to work out. That's fair enough. That's the price we're all willing to pay. The price I'm not willing to pay, and I don't think you should be willing to pay, is for frivolous, meaningless trading or half trading, you know, half kind of having a reason or whatever. That doesn't work out over time. So I won't hammer that anymore, but it's been such a big thing in my life, you know, the thing about the quality trade thing. So made a big difference in it. It came from many, many years ago when I traded for somebody else who I really cared for, didn't want to trade for them, but finally got talked into trading an account for them, and I purposely didn't trade in that account. And then one day, after hacking my account to pieces by doing all the things we're talking about, I suddenly realized, wow, this is actually good enough for this person. I could actually trade this move because I know this is the sweet spot. I mean, I'm not making this up and pushing myself. It dawned on me. This is it. And I did that for 3 years for this person, trading maybe once or twice a month back then. She was making money in her account and living off of it, something I had never been able to do in my own account. And in my own account, it looked like something from Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, Freddy's Your Broker. You know, that's a subtitle to the movie. Nightmare on Elm Street. You guys saw that movie. I trashed my account while I'm simultaneously trading beautifully in her account. Same guy, two different accounts. One of them has got, you know, you could live off the money in that account, and the other one is just trashed. Same guy. And that just goes to show you, and that's where I learned this, a major secret, not about markets, but about myself. I already know deep down what a sweet spot looks like. And this was like 15 years ago this happened to me, a long time ago. And I, even back then, knew what the sweet spot was. And I was, because I cared for this person, I was not willing to put them at the same risk that I knew I was putting myself at or anywhere near that. And I just, my intention was never to trade her account. And yet, once a month, twice a month, there would be something would come up. It's like, oh, well, okay, that's good enough for her. I mean, you know, geez, I can't, you got to do that. And those trades made her money. Wasn't as fun as trading in my account, hacking it to pieces, but she made what all of us are trying to say that we want to do, which is make money. Do you want to have fun, or do you want to make money? You can do both, but if fun comes first, then you're not going to make money, because making money in the market means you're trading the sweet spot, and you have to understand what the sweet spot is in order to trade it, and then you have to practice trading it. So for today, we're about, 15 minutes away now, Dwayne, from this Fed interest rate announcement, and we'll trade the S&P. I've already given out all the numbers. If anybody has any questions about it or have forgotten them, you can just give me a call at pagetrader.com. Our phone number's on there. I'll give it out right now. It's 888-231-4702. I want to remind people also, Dwayne, that we have a March seminar coming up for Reflected Wave. This is a technique that I use in virtually every trade that I make. I mean, almost without any exception.
Wait a minute. You can't remind people because you never brought it up yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to bring it up right now,
okay,
officially.
Okay, very good.
We have a March 3rd, 2nd and 3rd, or 3rd and 4th, what is it, 3rd and 4th of March of 2012 at the Mirage Hotel. You can read about it by going to, what is the name of our site? Master Forecaster Course.
I'm going to bring it up on
com.
The screen.
Yeah. We also are going to be putting some testimonials from people who have taken that course to learn how to do the turning points. It's very valuable. It's not valuable for everybody because some people are not that interested in turning points. I've always been very much the way that Michael X has always been interested in trading in size. I've always been interested in turning points. And so this particular technique, I've used it, the gold turning point for the bottom that we called for today, you know, yesterday, and the euro, and all a whole bunch of other stuff. It goes on. We've been putting out turning points on this radio station for 6 years. And this particular method allows you to do that. We're going to be putting some of our real students' testimonials on this site shortly as well. But either way, that's coming up. And we also today have a, for Messenger Pro, our product, where we day trade in the S&P. We have a webinar, live webinar, that you can come to. It's free. Nobody will ask you to have to pay any money or do anything. You can just listen in. And I'll be holding it. And it's just about our product, Messenger Pro, which we're starting to improve that product. One of the improvements that we've done is we're allowing for increased risk. Thank you, Dwayne. We're allowing for increased risk in the trades, so because there are going to be trades where there's larger moves and the risk needs to be a little bit larger. Not in every single case, but in most cases when you're going for larger sums of money, a larger number of points, in reality, over time, statistically, it works out that you have to increase your risk to get larger reward. Risk and reward are really like two sides to the same penny. And they might seem like they're different and you can adjust one without fooling with the other, but in reality, they're connected statistically and otherwise. So if you go to the site, pagetrader.com, and click on the Traders blog on the right-hand side, you can get in there and there'll be a link. You can sign up for it and just listen in, and there won't be any hard sell.
Everybody here, Dave.
What's that?
I just sent the link to everybody here.
Oh, thank you very much.
So if everyone will look in their chat box, you've got the link, so you don't even have to go to the page. You can just click the link in your chat box. It'll open a web page. You register, and you're done. It's that easy.
Well, there you are. It is that easy. That's very nice, Dwayne. I appreciate that. And so, you know, we've got the S&P where it is. Let's take in a few minutes here. The announcement's going to come out. We'll trade it as carefully as we can, all of us. And, Dwayne, I guess we'll get back together tomorrow and see how this all played out.
Okay,
that'll
David.
Be interesting. And
I just saw them. They said they're talking about why this Fed meeting is really important, but there's still no countdown mm-hmm. clock in the corner. I guess the guy in charge of the countdown clock probably is going to get fired tomorrow because he forgot to throw the switch.
Maybe he forgot to get up this morning.
Sometimes
got the Christmas spirit.
Because I, as a kid in high school, worked in fast food at Hardee's Hamburgers. Anyway, I know how important corporate things are when you work for a franchise. And so mm-hmm. it really sticks out to me, like at night about sundown, we'll be driving down the road and I'll go, oh boy, somebody's going to get fired. And my wife's like, what are you talking about? I go, look at that McDonald's over there. Guy forgot to throw the outside lights on, or the Burger King, or the whatever. If it's a franchise, it's in the rule book, and in the playbook, in the manual, that at this time of day, you flip the switch, and the place lights up outside, right? Because it looks odd when you're driving down the street, and it's 8 o'clock at night, and there's a McDonald's. You are they open? There's people inside, but none of the lights outside are on. Assistant manager, usually on the night shift, he's gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Well, what I like is when you drive by the Krispy Kreme donut store and the little lights are flashing, and that tells you that they're actually making the stuff right then and there. Kind of makes you want to pull in and get a Krispy Kreme donut.
Oh, you know what? I need to put this in the show notes. I had this idea years ago. I don't care if you don't believe me, guys. It's okay.
All right? I believe you.
All right. Well, that's nice of you. They're already doing this in Japan. It's coming to America. You go in to buy a Toyota in Japan. Okay, and the dealer says, how would you like to save a few thousand yen on the purchase of this vehicle? And the guy says, well, how do I do that? And the salesman goes, we need some personal information. Name, birthday, you know, wife's name, birthday, kid's name, birthday, blah, 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 blah. Okay, And if you're willing to give up this personal information, which will only be disclosed to your vehicle and other people, you'll save a substantial amount of money on this Toyota. Now, you're going to love this, David. You're driving past a McDonald's with your family. You're listening to the radio. And as you pass the McDonald's, the song on the radio stops playing. And suddenly it starts singing Happy Birthday. And it doesn't just sing Happy Birthday, but it sings Happy Birthday, Little Joey Chin in the back seat. Oh, I think I just mixed countries. But anyway, Happy Birthday, Joey Chin. Happy Birthday to you. Right now, come to McDonald's, because you're driving right past a McDonald's, which is emitting this signal, and it triggers the thing in the car, and it says, come to McDonald's right now, Joey, and we'll buy you a birthday lunch for free. So little Joey in the back seat starts jumping up and down and goes, Daddy, Daddy, let's go to McDonald's. So Daddy turns the car around. Little Joey gets a free birthday lunch. Mom,
that's brilliant.
Dad, and the other three kids pay for their lunch. Now, it's not just McDonald's doing this. All kinds of this is right out of that movie, what is it, The Matrix?
Yeah.
Okay, they feed this stuff into your car, and then the McDonald's and all the other people that buy the data, they just put these little transponder-type things up on their roof, and they're constantly beeping out this signal, and when you get within range, it triggers it to play the Happy Joey birthday song as opposed to the Happy Steve birthday song. Uh-huh. And that's just one of a multitude of variations of, you know, the Happy Birthday example is just
brilliant.
One iteration. I mean, imagine you're driving past a flower store on Valentine's Day, and the flower store speaks to you and says, hey, you know what? Or your anniversary. Hey, don't you want to stop here and get some flowers for the wife? Oh, that's the world we live in. Those cars are coming to America next year.
Wow. So stores will talk to you right in your car.
I tried to
1 hour martinizing for $49.95.
I tried to lay this idea out to my wife like 3 years ago, and we were actually in front of a Jack in the Box. I said, why can't that Jack in the Box tell our GPS right now that they got a special? If we come in, we get two burgers for the price of one. And she just gave me a vacant stare. But here it is.
She could have said they give you two tacos for 99¢ already. I don't know if you know about that.
She's
I just
want
to say this about Jack in the Box tacos, and I really do have to run because we're about to do this here. Okay, I'm 54. When I was 7, you could go to Jack in the Box and get the exact same Jack in the Box taco that you see today. Nothing's changed. There's something in those tacos that is like a drug. I don't know what it is. They're probably not good for you to eat, but they're really good. And nothing has changed in 50 years. Think of what other product other than like a number two pencil hasn't changed in 52 years or 50 years. I don't know of any. But Jack in the Box tacos, I mean, maybe there's been some change in the meat. I don't know. But it tastes exactly the same to me.
Has Jack in the Box even been around 50 years?
Yeah.
Have they really?
They have. Well, listen, I'm 54 and I was eating them when I was 6 and 7.
Okay, because I grew up in the South and we didn't have Jack in the Box back there. We had We had McDonald's.
Yeah, you people don't even know whether the Beatles broke up yet. I mean, in the South. Come on.
Oh, we had Hardee's. So you don't have Hardee's out here, but they're, hurry on down to Hardee's, baby, where the burgers are charcoal broil. I love working there.
All right.
I would go out.
No, that was a fun job.
All right. Okay.
We can all talk about our funnest jobs. I've had some unusual jobs myself.
No, so, Robert, well, we don't have Chick-a-Flick. We have Chick-fil-A. Robert typed in, you guys have Chick-a-Flick.
that's funny.
Chick-fil-A. I think he's saying we should go watch a Chick-flick because you were showing your feminine side earlier. All right.
Okay, well, goodbye, there David. You go. All right, well, Dwayne, a pleasure being on the program. I hope the stuff works out. We can trade this like we talked about it, and I'll be on tomorrow. We'll cover it all.
All right, bye.
Thanks for having me on, Dwayne.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, see you soon.
right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for another day of programming. Well, actually, it doesn't. It just wraps up the live broadcast because we stream 24/7. And if you don't tune in the other 22 hours of the day, I'm just going to say you're kind of missing out because even I, programmer of the station, I tune in via my iPad, my iPhone, when I'm hanging out somewhere. I use the TuneIn Radio app, which you can get free if you have an Android or an iPhone. It just works, man. You search CFRN once, you save it as a favorite, it puts it on the little home page on your phone, pop your earbuds in, and wow, you're listening to CFRN anywhere, anytime. It's really cool. If you want the deluxe version, I think it's $1.99. And all that does is it gives you the ability to record. Like, let's say you're right in the middle of a program on CFRN, and it's now your turn to see the doctor. No problem. Hit the record button. And then when you're done with your appointment, whatever it is, you just take your phone back out, and instead of going back to the live stream, you hit play, and it picks right up where you left off. It's like TiVo for your telephone. It is awesome. TuneIn Radio, a future sponsor of ours. Not yet, but we love Stitcher. Stitcher's good after the fact, okay? But it's only the daily broadcast, the live broadcast, the 2 hours. TuneIn Radio is a real kick in the pants because that's 24/7. You're never without quality content and programming if you put TuneIn Radio on your telephone. I'm telling you, it's the bomb. And you can get one version's free. The deluxe, it's $1.99. I got the deluxe. Diamond Jim here, I spend $1.99. Actually, on the iPad, sometimes on Saturdays when we're out running errands, I like to listen to This American Life on NPR. And if it just so happens that we're at a store to do one of the errands, during that hour of us driving around and the wife needs me to come in the store, I just whip out the iPad, open up the TuneIn Radio app, get NPR streaming live on the iPad, and then hit the record button. Oh, that is so awesome. Go in the store, take care of the errand, do whatever, come back out, hit play, picks up right where I left off. That could be you. And it works on any smartphone, iPhone or Android, okay? If it's not iPhone or Android, it's not very smart, okay? I'm sure most of you by now have one or the other. You might not. You might have the old-style flip phone, and that's okay. You know, some people still don't carry a cell phone. My dad has a cell phone, never turns it on. Like, Dad, what's the point? Why even have a cell phone? Well, you know, he's just not that into it. So, all right, this announcement, I was trying to kill time. We got 2 minutes. Let's see which way the market's going to run. If it's going to run. If they're really going to announce the thing. Fed announces no changes and Fed leaves rate unchanged. Okay, we already got an announcement. Breaking news. Let's see if they're giving us any commentary. Okay, this may be the most muted Fed move I've ever seen. Unless this thing picks up some steam pretty quick, we may not... I mean, you guys remember back in the day, Fed announcement, that was a deal. Man, the markets would just shoot 20 points in one direction, 20 points in the other direction. Maybe we get a move here. It seems like they announced that 1 minute early. That may have caught some people off guard. Maybe my clock's off. Better bounce it off the atomic clock. Yeah, Robert agrees. It was early for sure. That's odd. They're usually pretty tight about that kind of thing, or try to be. Fed repeats pledge to keep rates low through at least mid-2013. Okay, that's another whole year. That's good news. I don't know if it's good enough to move the market. Yeah, this will go down in history, I think, unless something big happens. I mean, by now we should have seen a move. And I realize this is an hourly chart, and so I'll go down to a smaller chart, smaller time frame. Let's go 2100. I mean, from 39 down to 34. I mean, one could argue that we had a 5-point move. Okay. I don't guess you got to argue. It was at 39. It's not 34. That is 5. I wish I had recorded the screen. No one would believe there was an actual Fed announcement going on. Unless my charts are frozen, which they don't seem to be. Here, let me look at a DOM and see what's going on. My charts do seem to be a little frozen. Is anyone showing? Tell me what you got price right now. $12.35. All right, same thing I got. So it's just sitting still. I'll close some of these browser windows here and see if I can. Yeah, my charts, it looks like they're in the process of locking themselves up. Let me close another browser window. See if that does anything. Yeah, I don't have that many things running. I probably just need to reboot. Okay. Not responding.
What?
Okay, I only got one last window I can close. Let's see if that works. You're about to close 3 tabs. Close them. Free me up some RAM, baby. Now 32.75. Yeah, my chart's froze, guys, so it did drop down. I don't really have enough stuff going on to lock me up, but I'm definitely overdue for a reboot. I was going to do it last night. I put it off. This is what happens. Yeah. Well, then I guess this show is over. Oh, I'm glad I wasn't in a trade there. Yeah, I just need a reboot. That's all. No biggie. All right, guys, that's going to do it. I will leave the charts running for... Well, no, I got some stuff to do. I'm going to have to shut the charts down. After I reboot, I guess. But anyway, you guys got charts. Oh, you don't have charts? Just one more reason you should take our free trial. Go to cfrn.net/apply. Name, email address. It's all you need to get started. Okay? You'll be able to download the platform, the simulator, the indicators. You'll have live data for a week. Gold, silver, oil, treasuries, E-minis, lumber, livestock, grains, you name it. If it's a futures contract, we got the data. Courtesy of our good friends at Daniels Trading. If you need any help whatsoever, installing your platform, installing your indicators, any of that, getting your data flowing, call our friends Bert and Leslie, 866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. All right? All right. That's going to do it for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts and guests. To learn more about trading E-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.